G'day and welcome returning lovelies, or welcome new listeners. You've reached Stories, Fables, Ghostly Tales. I don't know how you found me, but you have. Where I share horror stories either from existing authors, written by myself, or from lovely ghostwriters supported by my Patreon legends that keep my stories coming. And today's story is titled Hemlock Vale, The Bright Darkness. Now, I listened to my Patreon supporters, and I know their likes and dislikes, and today's story is me listening closely to their likes. I won't ruin it for you, but let's just say it's one of my Patreons' favourite topics, and I hope you'll all love it too. I wouldn't say this is explicit, but it's probably going to move into that space in future parts. But let's just say there's going to be a lot of gore, a lot of horror, maybe some body horror for sure. But we'll start a bit light for now and then dive deep into Hemlock Vale, a town whose purging of darkness may lead to other things going wrong and awry for them. We've got 3 to 4 main characters at the moment, and I'm going to expand on those. But let's just say it's going to be rich and full of great gory details. So strap yourself in, pour yourself a lovely cup of tea, and one for me, please. And enjoy this audiobook format style of storytelling. Enjoy. The town of Hemlock Vale, nestled on the edge of oblivion, was a place that maps forgot and time seemed to ignore. Its heart was shrouded in dense, ancient forests that whispered secrets on the wind, secrets that were best left unspoken. The air carried a chill that bit at your bones, regardless of the season. And the nights were a domain unto themselves, ruled by silvery moonlight that seemed almost malicious in its brilliance. Jonathan Harker, drawn by tales of Hemlock Vale's haunting beauty and eerie history, arrived under the guise of a writer seeking inspiration. Yet, his true purpose was driven by a deeper, more personal intrigue. The town's past was littered with unexplained disappearances, all coinciding with the full moon. A pattern dismissed by authorities as coincidence, but the whisperings of the local folklore suggested otherwise. From the moment he set foot in Hemlock Vale, Jonathan felt watched. Eyes flickered from shadowed doorways and behind curtain windows, retreating just as quickly as they appeared. The town, with its cobblestone paths and Victorian-era homes, seemed untouched by time. Yet beneath its picturesque facade lurked a palpable tension, as if the very air was holding its breath. His inquiries about the disappearances were met with tight lips and wary glances. It wasn't until he met Eleanor, the eccentric owner of the Moonlit Tome, a bookstore that seemed as old as the town itself, that he found someone willing to speak.
The woods are alive.
Her eyes darting to the door, as if expecting it to burst open.
And on full moon nights, they hunger.
Jonathan's skepticism was challenged when he found himself awoken one night by a bone-chilling howl that seemed to envelop the town. The next morning, he discovered that a local's pet had gone missing, the latest in a series of similar incidents. Determined to uncover the truth, Jonathan ventured into the woods under the light of the day, finding ancient symbols carved into the trees and footprints too large to belong to any known animal. The deeper he went, the more he felt the forest itself watching him, an ancient observer unkind to intruders. As the full moon approached, Jonathan's investigation led him to uncover tales of an ancient curse, a lineage thought to be a mere myth, and a family at the center of it all, harboring a secret so dark it could consume the whole town. But it was the night of the full moon when everything changed. Armed with silver and old lore, Jonathan and Eleanor faced the beast, a creature of nightmares, whose human eyes betrayed a torment as old as the curse itself. As the full moon drew closer, Jonathan's days were consumed by a feverish quest for answers. Hemlock's Vale's history was a tangled web of folklore, whispered rumors, and outright denials. Yet amidst the contradictions, a pattern emerged. A lineage cursed to bear the beast's burden, and the town too terrified to confront its reality. Eleanor proved to be an invaluable ally. Her knowledge of the town's lore and her collection of obscure texts pointed Jonathan towards the origins of the curse. It was said to have begun with an ancient wrong, a betrayal that soaked the forest's roots with a vengeance that demanded a monthly tribute in flesh and fear. The recluse local who became Jonathan's reluctant ally was none other than Michael, the last descendant of the family at the heart of the curse. His life was a solitary battle against the beast within, a battle that grew harder with each passing moon. Michael's insights into the werewolf's existence, its strengths, its weaknesses, and its tormented humanity were both a guide and a grim warning of the potential future that awaited him. Jonathan's first encounter with the werewolf came unexpectedly. A series of grisly discoveries led him into the forest on a night when the moon was but a sliver in the sky. The air was thick with an ominous tension, a precursor to the horror that awaited. The beast's howl shattered the silence, a sound so full of pain and rage that it chilled Jonathan to the bone. In the shadows, eyes glinted with a malevolent intelligence, and for a moment, Jonathan saw not a monster, but a prisoner of an ancient curse. The encounter left him with more questions than answers, driving him deeper into his quest. As the days blurred into nights and the full moon loomed large, Jonathan and Michael, with Eleanor's reluctant blessing, devised a desperate plan. Using ancient symbols and lore, they crafted a trap, not just to capture the beast, but to free the man within. The town of Hemlock Vale, once a mere backdrop to Jonathan's investigation, became an active participant in the unfolding drama. Secrets long buried began to surface, revealing a network of complicity and denial that allowed the curse to thrive. The town's picturesque facade crumbled, exposing a community ensnared by fear, guilt, and a perverse sense of protection for the status quo. The night of the full moon arrived with palpable tension, a collective breath held in anticipation of the horror to come. Jonathan and Michael, armed with silver bullets and a plan that balanced on the edge of madness, enter the forest as allies. Yet beneath the surface of their alliance lay an unspoken truth. Before the night was over, one of them might have to make the ultimate sacrifice. The forest, bathed in the silver light of the full moon, was a world transformed. Shadows danced with deceptive innocence, and the air itself seemed to whisper secrets, meant to mislead and confuse. Jonathan's heart raced, not just with fear, but with a determination to end the cycle of horror that had claimed so many lives. But as they ventured deeper into the heart of darkness, an unsettling realization dawned on Jonathan. The beast they hunted was also hunting them. Each step took them further from the safety of the known into a realm where the lines between man and monster blurred. The climax of their hunt, a confrontation steeped in horror and revelation, loomed on the horizon, promising answers that Jonathan feared to confront. As the boundary between ally and enemy began to fray, the true nature of the beast within threatened to consume them all. Under the heavy gaze of the full moon, the forest around Hemlock Vale seemed to hold its breath, as if awaiting the outcome of a battle foretold by ancient prophecies. Jonathan and Michael, armed with more than silver bullets, armed with a desperate hope to end the curse, moved silently, guided by the light that turned the woods into a landscape of haunting beauty and lurking shadows. Their plan was simple yet fraught with peril. Lure the beast into a clearing marked with ancient symbols and traps, a place Eleanor had found in one of her texts, described as a nexus of old powers. There, they would confront the werewolf, with Michael ready to intervene should the beast overpower Jonathan. As the moon reached its zenith, the air shimmered with a tension that was almost electric. Then, with a howl that melded agony and rage, the werewolf emerged from the shadows, its eyes burning with a malevolent light. The beast was monstrous, a towering figure of fur and fangs, yet Jonathan saw the flicker of humanity deep within those tortured eyes. The confrontation was chaotic, a maelstrom of movement and primal fury. Jonathan, relying on the research and preparations, maneuvered the beast into the heart of the clearing, where the ancient symbols glowed with a light that was not of this world. It was then that the unexpected occurred. The beast, driven by a cunning that matched its fury, turned its attention towards Michael, recognizing in him the blood of the curse. And that moment of distraction, Jonathan found his opening. But as he prepared to take the shot, a surge of clarity halted his hand. The realization that to end the curse, they needed more than just to kill the beast. They needed to break the cycle that bound the man to the moon's core. With a courage born of desperation, Jonathan stepped forward, speaking words of ancient power, words that Eleanor had discovered, which promised to bind or to liberate. The air around the clearing thickened, and the symbols blazed with a blinding light. The werewolf, caught in the grip of forces ancient and mysterious, howled in defiance, then in anguish. Before their eyes, the transformation reversed, leaving Michael naked and shivering. The curse lifted, but at a cost yet to be revealed. The silence that followed was profound, broken only by the ragged breaths of two men who had faced the darkness and emerged changed. As the first light of dawn began to pierce the night, they made their way back to Hemlock Vale, the weight of their ordeal etched into every step. The aftermath of the night was a tapestry of relief, disbelief and a slow healing, physically and mentally. The town of Hemlock Vale, confronted with the reality of the curse and the bravery of those who had faced it, found itself at a crossroad. Some choose denial, a comfort in the familiar blanket of ignorance. Others, spurred by the events, sought to mend the frayed edges to their community, to rebuild not just the town, but the trust that had been shattered by generations of fear, generations of death. Jonathan, once an outsider, found himself woven into the fabric of Hemlock Vale's story. His relationship with Michael, complex and forged in the heat of their shared ordeal, evolved into a deep unspoken bond. Eleanor, the keeper of secrets and stories, became a bridge between the past and a future, where the curse of the werewolf was a tale told with a mix of reverence and relief. The resolution of the curse was not without its scars, both physical and emotional. Michael, freed from the beast's grip, struggled with the weight of his family's legacy. The memories of nights lost to the moon's call, and the blood that stained his hands. Yet, alongside Jonathan and Eleanor, he found purpose in guiding Hemlock Vale towards a future unshadowed by the past. As autumn bled into winter, Hemlock Vale emerged from the shadow of the werewolf's curse like a town reborn. Jonathan's writings, a chronicle of the curse and its end, became a beacon for those who sought to understand the depths of darkness and the power of resilience. On a night when the moon hung low and full, a night that once would have been filled with fear and horror, the townsfolk gathered in a vigil. It was a ceremony of remembrance and release, a farewell to those lost to the curse and a celebration of the future. Jonathan, standing beside Michael and Eleanor, watched the flames dance into the night sky, a symbol of light enduring in the darkness. The road ahead was uncertain, fraught with the challenges of healing and growth. But for the first time in generations, Hemlock Vale faced it unburdened by the curse. As the fire burned down to embers, Jonathan realized that the true beast was not the werewolf, but the fear and hatred it had spawned. In breaking the curse, they had not just freed Michael, they had liberated the town from its own shadows. Hemlock Vale would always bear the scars of its past, but in the stories of bravery, sacrifice, and redemption, it found a new identity. And for Jonathan, what had started as a search for inspiration became a journey into the heart of human darkness and the light that can emerge from it. In the end, the werewolf of Hemlock Vale became a legend, a cautionary tale of the power curses and the strength required to break them. But more than that, it became a story of hope, of a community that faced its darkest night and dared to light a candle against it. And weeks following the breaking of this curse was a time of cautious optimism in Hemlock Vale. The town, once shrouded in an almost tangible dread, began to see the first real hope of moving beyond the tales of horror that had defined it for generations. Yet beneath the surface, the scars of the past remained, etched deep into the heart of the community. Jonathan, whose writings had chronicled the darkest nights of Hemlock Vale, found himself at a crossroads. The story he had set out to tell was complete, but the story of a town and his place within it was just beginning. The bonds formed in the crucible of fear and courage had rooted him to this place, transforming the once observer into an integral thread in the tapestry of Hemlock Vale's history. Michael, free from the curse that had been his family's legacy, faced the daunting task of rebuilding his life. The beast within had been silenced, but its echoes haunted his every step. He sought solace in the forest, now a place of peace rather than a prison of his curse. And in the company of Jonathan and Eleanor, who had become his anchors in a world he was learning to navigate anew. Eleanor, for her part, saw an opportunity to bridge the chasm between the past and the future. Her story, The Moonlight Tome, became a haven not just for those seeking knowledge of the occult, but for a community seeking to understand itself and its place in a world that had shifted on its foundations. She organized gatherings, discussions, and events that celebrated the folklore of Hemlock Vale while fostering a sense of unity and forward momentum. But not all was well in Hemlock Vale. Whispers of discontent and fear lingered, fueled by those who could not accept the curse's end or the changes it heralded for the town. There were those who missed the perverse security of the known, who found in the curse an excuse for the town's isolation and stagnation. A series of mysterious incidents began to unsettle the community. Animals found frightened and agitated. Strange markers appeared on the outskirts of town, and an unsettling feeling of being watched that crept over Hemlock Vale during the night. These occurrences rekindled old fears, whispering of a darkness that had not been fully banished. Jonathan, sensing a story that had not yet found its conclusion, delved into these mysteries. With Michael and Eleanor, they uncovered a network of old beliefs and rituals that had been practiced by a sect within the town. A sect that believed the curse was not a blight to be lifted, but a protection to be revered. This revelation brought to light a new conflict, a struggle for the soul of Hemlock Vale between the past and the future. Amidst the turmoil, a figure from the town's history returned. Anna, a descendant of the family that had been central to the curse's origin, came back to Hemlock Vale seeking closure and redemption for her ancestors' role in the tragedy. Her arrival sparked a debate within the community, opening old wounds, but also offering a chance for healing and forgiveness. Anna's knowledge of the family's history, combined with Eleanor's lore, led to the discovery of a ritual that promised to strengthen the barriers between Hemlock Vale and the dark forces that lingered at its edges. This ritual, requiring the unity of the townspeople, became a symbol of Hemlock Vale's desire to move forward, to embrace a future unmarred by the curses of the past. As preparations for the ritual began, the sense of being watched intensified, culminating in a night when the darkness seemed to press against Hemlock Vale with a palpable intent. Jonathan, Michael, Eleanor, and Anna. In the heart of the town's efforts led the clearing where the ritual had been broken. The ritual was a convergence of wills, a melding of old magic and new resolve. As the townspeople stood united, the shadows at the forest's edge recoiled, and for a moment, the barrier between worlds shimmered with a light that was pure and cleansing. In the aftermath, as the light of the dawn broke over Hemlock Vale, the town found itself changing once more. The shadows had been pushed back. The whisperings of discontent silenced by a display of unity and strength. Hemlock Vale had faced its past, acknowledged its wounds, and chosen a path forward. In the weeks and months that followed, Hemlock Vale experienced a renaissance of sorts. The town became a beacon for those seeking not just the thrill of its haunted history, but the beauty of its resilience and spirit. Jonathan's writings, published beyond the confines of the town, brought a measure of fame and an influx of visitors, each seeking to understand the mystery and the miracle of Hemlock Vale. Michael found a new purpose in guiding those visitors through the forest, sharing not just the tales of horror, but the stories of redemption and hope that had emerged from the darkness. His relationship with Anna, built on a shared legacy of pain and desire for redemption, flourished, symbolizing the town's journey from cursed to cured. Eleanor's store became a cultural hub, a place where the lore of the past and the possibilities of the future coexisted. She, alongside Jonathan, Michael, and Anna, formed the core of a community that had stared into the abyss and chosen to light a candle, casting long shadows into a past that would no longer define them. The tourists, drawn by tales of horror and survival, unknowingly brought with them the gaze of these dark forces. Curious and hungry for the energies that Hemlock Vale now radiated and suppressed, Jonathan, whose pen had chronicled the town's darkest hours and its triumphant stand against the curse, began to notice the subtle shift. The air grew heavier, the nights longer, and the forest whispered with voices that were not of this world. His initial excitement at the town's newfound fame and prosperity and safety waned as he realized that Hemlock Vale had traded one curse for another, one that was more of a nebulous threat. Michael, too, felt the change, freed from the beast within. He had hoped for peace, but found himself haunted by dreams that were not his own, visions of darkness creeping over the town, suffocating the light of the moon and stars. These were not mere remnants of his cursed past, but portents of something new, something that watched from the shadows with patience and cunning. Eleanor, ever the keeper of lore and secrets, stumbled upon an ancient text hidden within the depths of the Moonlight Tome. It spoke of the Eaters of the Light, entities drawn to places of power and change, where the veil between worlds grew thin. As she shared her findings with Jonathan and Michael, the realization dawned on them all. The ritual had not only strengthened the barrier, but also illuminated Hemlock Vale like a beacon in the dark, attracting forces that had lain dormant for millennia. The new tourists, each arriving, unknowingly weaving another thread into the town's impending doom, became the unwitting heralds of this encroaching darkness. Among them, a figure cloaked in charm and curiosity, whose interest in Hemlock Vale's history veiled a deeper, more sinister purpose. This figure, who blended seamlessly amongst the visitors, was the harbinger of the dark forces, studying the town's defences and seeking the key to its unravelling. And this is where we'll stop now. And I will continue this next week. And Legends, I'm working on so many different things. I'm also using some high-powered musical AI, which you'll be hearing shortly. That's going to be doing a special outro, a special intro, and all my patrons are going to get first access to that. I'm also doing something very special for my White Tea Warlords and above Patreons. I won't ruin the surprise. Just take a listen by the end of this episode. I can almost hear Matt, Les's, and Joseph's chairs creak in anticipation. I got my hands on, as I mentioned, some crazy powerful music AI tools, which means I should be able to theoretically create all the music moving ahead for the podcast. We'll see if it's sustainable, but I've got a lot of learning to do in that space as well. It means doing things like creating ambient audio, background music, my own custom mood and vibe to bring each story to life. I'm always trying to add more and do more, and this is a great chance to flex my AI skills. But I digress. I want to say thank you to the legends that even let me get this far. Now let's dig in. I am thankful for all of my Patreon supporters, but I'm going to start with my own Knight T-Titan. So brace yourselves for a whirlwind of gratitude is about to sweep on through. Leading the charge is none other than the Matto Star, Ode Knight T, Titan of the T Universe, a beacon of benevolence. Matto, your contribution goes beyond mere support. You're the guiding light through the financial fog, the sage leading us through uncharted waters. Your backing is a lighthouse that ensures our narrative vessel sails smoothly, making sure our auditory adventure shines and my tea collection boasts the variety of the explorer's trove. Your spirit outshines the brightest beacon in the darkest night, mate, sending a universal signal of thank yous for your splendid support. Matto, you're not merely memorable. You're the epitome of timeless tales and enduring alliances, eagerly awaiting to peruse your latest missive, aka your email. Thanks, mate, for being my pal as well, legend. Looking forward to hearing from you. Now let's roll out the welcome mat for our twin titans of the White Tea Empire, beginning with the unmatched muscle maven, Lezza the Bicep Shatterer, blazing a trail. Lezza, your fervor in dispelling the grey clouds of monotony and hoisting the White Tea standard into the heavens is nothing short of legendary. Your patronage is the elixir that courses through the veins of our venture, the sole force behind my heartfelt gratitude. You redefine cool, setting a new standard that even the frostiest of hearts cannot ignore. Hats off to you, Lezza, for turning the awesome up to 11, sending it soaring into realms untold. A hearty cheers to our valiant voyage. Thank you, man, for being brilliant, and my pal too. And leaping into the limelight with the vigor of a spring dawn, let's celebrate the extraordinary Joseph Schroeder, our White Tea Warlord of Wonder and Guardian Angel of this podcasting odyssey. Joseph, your support is like a bolt from the blue, utterly astonishing, deeply invigorating, and the cornerstone of our exploration and growth. You're the spark that ignites our podcast from the whispers of yesterday into the clarion call of tomorrow. The secret ingredient in our auditory concoction that adds that special twinkle to each episode. A mountain of thanks for being our pole star and for the ray of sunshine you sent my way in the previous emails. Your generosity is a tale for the ages, mate, destined to be recounted in the annals of time. Thanks, man, and it is lovely to have you as my pal too. Now let's raise our tea cups to the amazing, the illustrious Elgrain forces, the fearless defenders against the nefarious forces of boredom. I am lucky and honored to have this formidable squad. Chad Warren, Just Heather, Sunshine Days, Juicebox Andy, Peter Raffaelli, Divided by Zero, Paige Kramer, Jane Gumnick, Michael Krupp, Jandy Prinz, and Seductive Smiles. A big shout out to my Patreon powerhouses, my Elgrain enforcers. You legends are the bee's knees. Here's some more wild rides on the audio roller coaster. Cheers, you amazing people. And I'm going to leave you with two songs. Two songs created by AI that I'm trying to flex my skills on, and I hope you love it. It's the outro to every single SFGT episode coming up. I might change it every now and then, but for now, this is what it's going to sound like. Have yourself a wonderful, wonderful week ahead of you, and I'll catch you Monday with more new and crazy stories. All right, legends, take it easy. Catch you, mates. And above all, enjoy.
Make it just so, precision and flavor, let it glow. Like tailspun in neon light, flowing through the night, oh so bright. In the pulse of the sin, stories intertwine, binding us together through time. Nostalgic beats, an old refrain, echoing the tales of joy and pain. Stand with me in this neon wonderland, where stories are written hand in hand.
sounds in the air, a memory's refrain, a reminder of our journey in the simple age train. So let the Neo stay for a while, let the rhythm of tales beguile. As the night slowly fades into day, hope to see you again in the Cygwin Bay. In the fading light, as stories die, we whisper softly a final goodbye. But in the peace that echo far and wide, we'll meet again on the neon tide.
Now, it won't be as long as this. I'm going to be cutting pieces out or slicing it up, but this is the full length song at the moment. Okay, enjoy.
In the velvet cloak of night, with shadows dance and play. Looks around where eerie tales in whispers softly say. Listen close, the winds lament, a prelude to dismay. Stories, fables, ghostly tales, the darkness does convey. So gather round if you dare, let the horror unfold. Tales of terror shrouded in mystery centuries old. Stories, fables, ghostly tales, where the truth is often cold. In this podcast fear is spun in voices bold and bold. Each whisper tells a story of lost souls and their plight.
ghosts that wander, bound to earth, far from the heavenly light. Fables of the ancient, where monsters stalk their prey, in the heart of night's embrace, where even brave hearts pray. Dive deep into the digital globe, where the heartbeats sink and feelings flow.